Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. We are live out here at Titans Training Camp at St. Thomas Sports Park. D-Maze, it's game week.
Yes,
it is. Officially game week.
You got to love it. And this is what they've been waiting for, especially, let's say this is what the young guys have been waiting for. An opportunity to, one, not practice against one another, but then, two, the most important, a measuring stick. You know, where are you as a you know, rookie, second-year player, you know, guy that is trying to, you know, on the fringe, trying to make this team, or guys that are, you know, maybe second or third on the depth chart, they get to, this is the day you, you know, get to work your way up, or this is the week. Not to say that, you know, the week and a half prior wasn't, but this is a week because you know you got a game.
Right.
And it's like the last 2.5 weeks, we've been preparing for the test, And it's been hard, practice test after practice test. But now you get an opportunity to take a test, and the test is going to be this weekend versus Chicago Bears.
I'm pumped for it. And it feels different. I don't know if that's just me and my own excitement about finally having, you know, real life football. And it's not that training camp's not real life football. It's not like the Hall of Fame game isn't real life football, but it just feels more real. And it feels like what they're doing this week is so much more tangible. Because ever since training camp started, even going back to OTAs, you could always say it's just OTAs, it's early. At the beginning of training camp, you could say, well, it's only day one. It's only day two. It's only day three. It's only day four of training camp. We just got in here. It's still early. Still have time. And that was true. And honestly, still is true that it's still early. You still have time. Everyone still has things that they need to work on. Everyone still has things that they can tweak and tailor. You still got a right tackle battle, apparently, that's going on. So it is still early. But once you have those games coming up, once you actually have something to look forward to beyond just we're going to be back out on the practice field on Saturday, that's when you can stop saying, well, it's not early anymore. That's when you can really start to critique and make more firm opinions. Not saying that we're making solidified opinions. Not that we're going to say that we're making up our mind and our decisions on the 53-man roster or who we think should be the backup quarterback. But those kinds of thoughts and opinions start to become a little bit more formidable because you have a game to look forward to. So I think there's kind of two ways to look at this week. Fan and media perspective being one of them. And I think for me, as a member of the media, I look at this week like, okay, who's taking reps on the first team means something a little bit more because that might be what we're seeing on Saturday. As a media member, I'm looking at, you know, who's getting more reps with the first team. Are they going to get a little bit more of a nod on Saturday? Those are the things that I'm picking up on is who's getting the reps, who's looking like they're coming along a little bit better, who's looking like they're in better game shape, maybe a little bit more tailored and ready for Saturday. But there's also the other side of things, which is the player perspective.
Yeah.
From your perspective, D-Maze, what did a game week in training camp mean, maybe just a little bit different than of weeks prior?
Well, first it was, whew, finally, a game.
Right.
You know, finally we're not practicing against one another. It's not just the you know, the same old repetition, going out to practice, getting better, playing against yourself. Now there's an end goal. We're getting, you know, we're practicing this week. Not necessarily, we're not necessarily game planning, but we're practicing because we know that at the end of the week we have a game. We got something to look forward to. It's not just, okay, we're going to practice all week, and the only thing we look forward to is this weekend because it's the weekend, right. But we still got practice. Mm-hmm. No, you're looking forward to it now because now we have a game. And for players, it, like I said, it depends on where you're at in your career. Mm-hmm. A guy like me, say, after 6-7 years, you know what's going on. You know where you're at as far as, you know, your value to the team or whatnot. You're still going out there. You're working hard. But for me, the first game was like, okay, I'm going to allow this week. I'm going to ramp it up just a little bit more, knowing that I may not play, but I'm still going to ramp it up a little bit more because what I have to do now is show those younger guys how to prepare for a game week. I may not be playing, mm-hmm. but this is how you start to prepare for a game week. These are the things that you're doing. So now you're starting to get more into your routine as a veteran player because the younger guys are watching it. So you want to try to – the things that you do during the season – you're starting to do them now because, again, at the end of the week, we got a game. So, you know, again, I knew I wasn't playing much, even though times were a little bit different. I knew I was going to get maybe a series in, but I was going to make sure that series was my best series.
And that's an important thing to remember. This week, going into the first season preseason game against Chicago on Saturday, this week, to me, it's not about Ryan Tannehill. It's not about Derrick Henry. It's not about Kevin Byard. It's not about DeAndre Hopkins. Honestly, it's not even about Treylon Burks. This week, to me, is about the rookies. It's about Tajay Spears. It's about, you know, the offensive line. It's about Will Levis. It's about Malik Willis. It's about some of those positional battles. It's about the Reggie Robertsons and the fringe 53-man roster guys. We know who's going to be on this team. We know the locks that are on the roster. We know that it's DeAndre Hopkins and Treylon Burks and Derrick Henry, that their spots, they're solidified.
Exactly.
And as great as they are and as much as we love them, this week's not about them. It's about the fringe guys who are going to be battling for a starting roster spot, which has been going on all throughout camp and that we're going to see on full display on Saturday.
Yeah, and, you know, veteran guys, they like it this time of year, like the first few games of preseason. They like it because they now get to see an idea of how this team can potentially look. Not necessarily from the starters, but from the guys that are going to be backups. You watch and are excited like a big brother to see, you know, that rookie wide receiver play or that second year guy that has been working all offseason just to get an opportunity to show his talent on the football field in a game that sort of means something, because these preseason games mean something, not to veteran guys more than likely, but it means something to these younger guys because this is how they're making the team. They go out and they do what they need to do during preseason, and a lot of these guys win roster spots because of what they're doing, not only on a practice field, but are able to take the things that they learned, the way they competed on the practice field, they're able now to take it into a game. So veteran guys love it. Watch the sideline. I this is a homework for everybody, our listeners. Watch the sidelines in about the second quarter, third quarter. Watch those veteran guys get excited for those rookie guys. It is the best because it's like I'm watching my little brother play.
Right.
In a sense, you know, even though some of them may be older than you, but you're still watching guys compete. And they're competing hard. Why? Because they got to earn a job.
Which is great to see from both perspectives. Uh-huh. Of one, you've got those older veteran guys that are really championing for the young guys. Uh-huh. Like I was talking about this earlier today when we were talking about the Jamarco Jones blindside block on Jack Gibbons this past week that ultimately got Jamarco Jones fired from this football team. And it was Azeez Al-Shaair that really kind of got up in Jamarco Jones' face and was defending Jack Gibbons. And that's almost like, you know, storyline 117 uh-huh. of this entire Jamarco Jones saga of Azeez Al-Shaair, a new member of this team, but still a veteran player. He felt the need to get up and defend his guy and to be a leader and to say, no, we're not going to practice that way. So already kind of forming as a leader on the sidelines. That's a good point of like, it's good to see that from the older guys, from the veterans, to be, you know, the champions for the younger guys and for the younger guys to be making plays.
Exactly. And then the coaches get excited too, because it's like, listen, all of this hard work that we're putting in, it's not just because. Mm-hmm. The hard work, the things that I'm asking you to do, I'm asking you to do for a reason. So when we go out there and play competitive football, we compete and it's competitive on the practice field, but it's a different type of competition when we're actually in the game. So all that work that we did throughout the weeks and all that grinding and in the sun, it was for a reason. The reason is this. Now you can show us if you really, truly belong in this league. Because some guys come out here and they are practice player like warriors. Like they will make the all-practice squad, first team consecutively. And then you put them in a game, and it's like, where did that dude go?
Uh-huh.
Like, where is he? Like, what's going on? Why is there there's a disconnect somewhere within what you do on a practice field, and then when the lights come on and the crowd comes out, what you're not doing on the playing field. It's like you got to be able to take what you do on a practice field and apply it to what you do and amplify it a little bit more.
They call them training camp darlings.
Yeah, training camp darlings.
Training camp darlings. And you have usually at least one every single season. And it is incredibly windy out here.
Yes.
You have one, probably on both sides of the ball, every single year. A guy that whenever he makes plays in practice, you have to look back at your roster like, wait, who is that guy again? But he just continues to make plays, and he looks really good in practice. And a training camp darling, almost to a certain extent, is kind of like a derogatory term. It's kind of like when you say, oh, bless your heart.
Exactly.
It's like, well, it sounds really nice, but it really kind of has an underlying mean, like bad meaning. Uh-huh. Because what a training camp darling implies is that you can make plays in training camp, and then that's really kind of the extent of it.
You don't make the 53-man roster.
Right, exactly. So that's what I am excited to look at this upcoming week, and especially this Saturday. That is officially game week, and they're going to be doing game prep, and they're going to be watching film not of themselves, but of the Chicago Bears. Is I want to see the training camp darlings start to separate themselves and show it on the football field. And we're not going to know who that's going to be. There could be guys that have been showing out in practice and show that kind of consistency in the game on Saturday. There's going to be guys that we might be saying, hey, like this guy could be a dark horse to make the 53-man roster, and then he kind of disappears in a game.
Yeah.
But we're going to start to see those separate themselves throughout this week, and especially on Saturday and as we get throughout the rest of the preseason games. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. It is officially game week. Practice just feels a little bit different. It just feels like it means a little bit more. I'm pumped for it. Titans take on the Chicago Bears on Saturday. But coming up next, we will chat with Tajay Spears, who will sit down with us. We'll also hear from Mike Vrabel at the podium in 15 minutes. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 1025-1063, the game. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace is brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. We're live out here at Titans training camp at St. Thomas Sports Park on a Titans game week. Preseason starts this weekend. Got refs out of practice today. This is the first day of refs, at least that I've been here. First day of refs. Jared Stillman's going to lose his job.
Oh, my goodness.
His job of calling the field goals
exactly.
good
like
or
he's
no
not here
because
he had to do the morning. Is he here? Did he come over?
He's not here. He did Chase's show today,
yeah.
I believe, to a certain extent did Chase's show. So they had the refs out here calling fair or good or no good field
no
goals.
Good. Not
losing
good,
his job.
Not good. Come on, Jared.
He muffs one ball, and all of a sudden they say, no, Mayor Jared Stillman, we're bringing in the big guns, bringing in the NFL referees. We'll have Tajay Spears, Titans running back, join us in just a few minutes. But there was one texter in our text line, phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, that weighed in. And D-Mays and I were talking about how this week just feels different, and it just feels like it means something a little bit more, because it's not just going out on the practice field. It's not just competing against your own guys. Now you're preparing for a game. Now you're preparing for an opponent that's not your own team. One texter texts in and says, how much are we really going to learn from a preseason game about this team? Correct me if you think any differently, but my impression of it is, I don't know how much you're really going to learn about this team as a whole.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you're going to be able to walk away from Saturday's preseason game against the Chicago Bears and say, yep, that looks like a team that's going to win the division. Because more than likely, you're not going to see Tannehill.
No.
You're not going to see Henry. Mm-hmm. You're not going to see DeAndre Hopkins. You're not going to see Kevin Byard. You're not going to see Jeffrey Simmons. You're not going to see Harold Landry. You're not going to see the A-team or the varsity squad. So how can you really make a fair evaluation of this team as a whole when you don't have those guys out there, when you've got your twos and your threes?
Well, you're not.
But, but you're going to learn about the backup quarterback position. You're going to learn about the fifth and sixth receivers that are going to make this roster. So you're not going to have a full evaluation of this team as a whole, but you're going to find out some answers to questions that we've had throughout training camp.
Yeah, you will get a better look and understanding of, you know, the depth chart.
Mm-hmm.
What happens if, you know, somebody goes down on the front seven, a start on the front seven? Well, because you've watched these preseason games, you may see a defensive tackle in there that you like and say, okay.
Right.
If somebody does go down, we're good, you know, because of the way this player has played. Or you see the, you know, second or third string wide receiver. We're already worried about that position somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
Now you get to see, can these guys really play after, you know, Treylon Burks, D-Hop, Chris Moore, Kyle Phillips. Okay, what about the other four or five? Can they play if one of these guys go down? Well, you start to see, you know, what type of players you have on your team beside the first 11 and this, you know, first 11 on offense, first 11 on defense. It's just a makeup. You get to understand the makeup of your team. And I think a lot of fans can get a lot out of preseason because we hear this a lot when the season goes on. If somebody goes down, well, who's going to take their place?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. Well, if you've been watching this team, you know exactly who's going to take that guy's place. And you feel good about it because mm-hmm. you saw what that person was able to do in special teams. So, yes, you're not going to know, like, as a whole what this team is going to look like. But you got a good idea of what some of the backup guys will look like eventually.
And backup quarterback, that's
yes.
been the number one question, at least for me, throughout training camp, is the Willis versus Levis, the backup quarterback competition. You're going to start to see that come to fruition in the preseason. So I don't want it to get twisted that, you know, I'm so excited for the preseason game because all of a sudden every single question that we have about this
team going to be answered.
Is going to be answered. Now, I don't think that we're going to emerge from Saturday saying Super Bowl contenders or not at all Super Bowl contenders. That's not why I'm excited about Saturday. I'm excited about Saturday because first of all, it's football. Can we just appreciate the fact that we're actually going to have real-life legitimate games and really they don't mean anything?
Nothing else matters.
No,
we got football.
We got football. Don't look too far into it.
Exactly.
Water just completely soaks. Bug rising over there. Don't get too hung up on it. Don't look too far into it. Just appreciate and get excited for the fact mm-hmm. that we have real-life football, that we're going to start to see some questions answered, that some training camp darlings might emerge as, hey, actual legitimate opportunities to see guys that could make the 53-man roster. Just enjoy it. Just enjoy it. Another texter texts in. Says, you learn about depth, something that we haven't had. We need to see Racy and Colton Dowell. That's what it
exactly.
is. You're going to start to see the guys that are maybe receivers 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th on the depth chart. The Racy McMass, the Colton Dowells, the, you know, pick anybody else off of the Reggie Robertsons, who's looked good in camp so far. The Gavin Holmes, those kind of guys.
Guys that you won't see a lot of during the season.
Right.
But you get to see, or at least not on the starting units, you'll get to see them on special teams. But you get to actually, during preseason, you get to see these guys that are going to be primarily special team guys.
Mm-hmm.
Now you get to see them actually play their position during preseason. So, again, you're not going to get the whole makeup of the team, but you will get an idea of how some of these backups look.
Right. And to be completely honest, ideally, if all goes well, you don't want, and I don't want, to see these guys at any point this season. Because if you do, that means that you've probably got a myriad of injuries, and then you're going down, you know, to the bottom and going to the practice squad to pick up guys just to have bodies. Unfortunately, that's something that Titans fans have experienced all too well over
too
the last
times.
Couple of seasons, far too many times. Drew Texan says, it's football and I am pumped. I'm definitely watching the quarterback competition because of the possibility of having to play this year if, God forbid, knock on wood, Ryan Tannehill gets hurt. And that's what you don't want to see. Watching guys that you have to see throughout the regular season, because that means probably bad news. But it is exciting to see, you know, who's the backup quarterback going to be, because it's probably more likely than not, unfortunately, that he's going to get probably some quality snaps throughout the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, he will. Either guy, whether it's Will Levis or
maybe both of them.
You know, Willis. They're going to get Malik Willis. They're going to get a lot of snaps, and you know, you just hope what you see encourages you, not just for, you know, this year, if God forbid something happens to Ryan Tannehill, but for the future. You get to see these quarterbacks battle it out. You get to see these quarterbacks really show you what they've learned for the last 3 or 4 months. Malik Willis more so the last year and a half. Is a Will Levis ready to play? Does he come in with the confidence? Does he command the huddle? Does he look like a leader out there amongst a bunch of young guys? Does Malik Willis look like a leader? Does he look like a guy that you know, has been in the league 2 years and have really taken that his first true preseason, I mean, first true offseason, he's taken that and he's built upon it. So these are some of the things you get an opportunity to see, not just this weekend when they go off to Chicago, but the next two games following that.
Another texter texts in says, what's going on with Roger McCreary? I thought he was a number one corner. I don't know what is going on with Roger McCreary.
No, there's a cornerback battle right now between, you know, obviously I think you can pencil in
Fulton
as one of your starters. But then I think after that, it's up for grabs. I mean, McCreary played really good last year. He got better. But I don't know if they see him more of a slot corner. I think he had to play last year on the outside by default because they had a lot of injuries to that position. But I think they probably look at him more as a nickel guy. They got Sean Murphy Bunny that came over from Tampa. He's a guy that's used to playing inside and outside. So that cornerback battle, it's going to be a good one. But, you know, they need the depth because we saw what happened to them last year. They got decimated at not just that position but other positions. But that position.
Really, the secondary as a whole.
Exactly. Because when someone gets hurt on that front seven, if you don't have a good and healthy secondary, you're going to get exposed. And the Titans were one of the worst teams in pass defense last year.
So, yeah, I don't think Roger McCreary is going anywhere.
It's no, he's
a fun
not going
battle
anywhere.
To watch in camp. He's going to make the 53-man roster. Yeah. All three of
those
corners that we just mentioned.
Now, will he be a starter or backup? I don't know. They're playing it out right now.
Which will also be interesting to kind of see itself play out through the rest of training camp. I don't know if you're going to see a Roger McCreary in the preseason. Maybe he'll take a few snaps here and there. I really don't know what extent you're going to see him. But, yeah, I wouldn't worry. I wouldn't worry at all about that position. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Tajay Spears is slated to join us, Titans running back, so we will chat with him. Mike Vrabel will also take the podium shortly, so we'll take Mike Vrabel live and in its entirety. But coming up next, Dan Graziano of ESPN.com wrote his reactions, overreactions, what's a fair reaction, what is an overreaction to some of the storylines heading into this season. Now, there's not an overreaction, so to speak, about the Titans. But there is one that he lists that I think is selling the Titans far too short. And we will get into that coming up next. And your thoughts as well, 615-737-1025. Hey, tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tomorrow at 6.05 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Indianapolis Indians, AAA affiliate of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Sounds Baseball and 94.9 The Fan, presented by 3-1-2 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 1025-1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live out here at Titans training camp at St. Thomas Sports Park. awfully windy day out here at practice. They've kind of faced the elements over the last couple of days on Thursday, Friday, whatever day that was. Mm-hmm. But it was a bad rain day.
Friday
was a bad rain day, so they kind of braced the elements out there today. Windy. So getting can challenge a little bit out here from the elements.
But
the,
hey, this is what
happens. Nothing
happened.
They won't face.
They may step into a stadium, and it's just like this, windy.
Right. You know? Nothing they won't face throughout the regular season.
MetLife is windy when you go up there to New York. It's very windy.
And it's cold.
Cold, too, yeah. So.
Officially game week. Got the refs out here at practice. It's exciting. It feels fun. We've got fans out here at practice as well. So we'll chat with Tajay Spears whenever they wrap up practice. Mike Vrabel will also be at the podium, so you will take him live and in its entirety. But I want to get into this. Uh-huh. Because Dan Graziano, I think, does this every season going into the regular season, and it's some of the storylines going into the season. Are they overreactions, or is the hype fair? And it's totally fair. And I want to get into all of the overreactions, but there's one in particular that I thought was awfully interesting as my Wi-Fi stops working as soon as I pull it up and trying to talk about it. But again, Dan Graziano has his overreactions going into the regular season. What's a fair reaction? What is an overreaction? And there was one that I thought was very interesting because it pertained not necessarily to the Titans, but not to the Titans? Mm-hmm. And the number one question is the Jags preseason hype real? The question was, the Jaguars season will be a disappointment if they don't win the AFC South. So before we get into Dan Graziano's evaluation, I want your evaluation, your thought. Will, is it an overreaction or a fair reaction that the Jags season will be a disappointment if they don't win the AFC South?
Honestly, I think it'll be a fair reaction.
What?
It should be an overreaction from the Jaguar faithful.
So is it a fair reaction or overreaction that it would be a disappointment if the Jags don't win the division?
It's a fair reaction. If they don't win the AFC South, then it should be a disappointment because really it's a and I understand how sports go, and it may take one or two injuries and it changes the derails, you know, the team or the progress that they're making. I get that. But this is really a two-team race because you look at Indianapolis and Houston, they're ushering in new quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. So they're going to take their lumps. And then they have other problems within their team. Mm-hmm. It's not just ushering in a young quarterback. I think the Titans and the Jaguars are the most veteran-led teams in this division. They both got veteran quarterbacks, both got veteran head coaches. If you look at some of their key players, DeAndre Hopkins is a veteran for the Titans. For Jacksonville's Calvin Ridley and their receivers, so they're veteran guys. So both of these teams are sort of in the same space. Jackson, I think, top to bottom, at this point, roster may be a little bit better. And I know the Jacksonville faithful, considering what happened last year, they're hoping for bigger things this season because if you look at the Jacksonville, it was a tale of two seasons for both Jacksonville and the Titans. The Titans started off 7-2. Well, Jacksonville didn't start off 7-2.
They struggled the first half of the season.
And then they figured it out. Mm-hmm. And while they were figuring it out, the Titans were getting injured. And
their offensive coordinators were getting DUIs.
Absolutely.
General managers were getting fired.
Absolutely. So this team, and then they end up winning a game in the playoffs, meaning Jacksonville.
Yep.
This team feels good about where they are as a organization, as a franchise. Now, they want to get better, but if you look at it, we won the South. We got our quarterbacks coming back. We got all our key players at key positions that are coming back, with the exception of their right tackle. I believe they're ushering in a new right tackle. But beside that, all those guys that helped us last year are back in the same offense with one of the best head coaches in the National Football League and one of the best young talents at the quarterback position. So if you don't win the South, it is a disappointment. You know, just like the Titans, it was a disappointment last year for the Titans. But we all understand why they didn't win the South.
Right.
But it still was a disappointment. Why? Because they were the best team at the beginning of the season in the South. So everybody expected them to win it. And they didn't, so it was sort of a disappointment. Just like 2 years ago, had they not won the South 2 years ago, it would have been a huge disappointment. Why? Because they were hands down the best team.
And because the rest of the AFC South was in a very different
position
in those years. Dan Graziano agrees with you. Dan Graziano says that it is not an overreaction, that it would be a disappointment if the Jags don't win the AFC South. And that's a very confusing way to word it. Basically, Dan Graziano is saying, if the Jags don't win the AFC South, it's a disappointment. He describes it and says, other than the AFC West, I'm not sure there's a division that has a clearer on-paper favorite this offseason. The Titans still have Mike Vrabel as their coach, and the late offseason addition of DeAndre Hopkins suggests they still plan to contend. But last season's collapse also indicates that Tennessee might be headed into a bit of a rebuild. The Colts and Texans are coming off rough campaigns and are likely to be starting rookie quarterbacks. So, I understand that. I think that there's two different ways to define this. I understand that if you're a Jaguars fan, if your team doesn't win the AFC South, you can be disappointed. But I think that there's a different kind of meaning when you say it's a disappointment if you don't win the AFC South. I think that basically implies that you failed.
Yeah.
That you failed if you don't win the AFC South. And I think that if you say that about the Jags, that it is a failure if you don't win the division, I think that's selling the Titans short.
No, I don't think it's selling the Titans. Sure, I think you're being a realist in regards to where this team is at and where the Titans are at, meaning where Jacksonville is and where the Titans are at. If you let's just look at this roster, for instance, and I'm going to ask you, okay, quarterbacks, are you taking Trevor Lawrence or Ryan Tannehill?
Honestly, I think it's a lot closer than you might think. And it's and you could if you're going to say, who am I building my team around for the next 5 years, that's an easy answer. It's Trevor Lawrence. So who would I rather have this season? Honestly, I think it's kind of a draw.
Okay. If you say it's kind of a draw, it is that. I look at it from the standpoint, if I'm starting my franchise this year, or if I want a quarterback going into the season with the, you know, personnel that Jacksonville has or the Titans have, I'm taking Trevor Lawrence. His upside is tremendous. He has all the tools, but he's younger. That's why I'm taking him. He's a younger quarterback. And he didn't have injuries last year.
The injuries are fair. Ryan Tannehill
dealt with injuries last
year.
Now, you would more than likely, which I would too, take Derrick Henry over Travis Etienne. But they're two different backs.
Yeah.
Totally two different backs. So what do you want to do? Do you want to be smash mouth? Then you take Derrick Henry. But if you want to be versatile, you take Travis Etienne.
And two totally different types of offenses.
Absolutely.
Jags like to air it out.
Exactly. Now, look at the pass catchers. And I'm not going to just single each guy. Take the pass catchers. Christian Kirk, Calvin Ridley, Zay Jones, and Evan Ingram versus Treylon Burks, D-Hop, Kyle Phillips, Chris Moore, and Chick Okonkwo. As much as I love Chick Okonkwo, as much as I love Treylon Burks, me, I'm taking this group. They're proven. No one's proven on that side of the ball with the exception of D-Hop. Now, he has enough stats for all these guys put together.
Right.
But he's only one guy that is proven. Even though I believe that Chick Okonkwo is going to be great, I believe that Treylon Burks is going to be great. But this group this year, they're better. So if I'm looking at it from the quarterback position, from the receiver position, and honestly from the offensive line position, I'm taking Jacksonville. This is a team that I said, if you just look at it, 11, 22 on 22, they are a better team. That's why Dan Graziano says, if they don't win the South, it's a disappointment. Just like the Titans, if they didn't win the South 2 years ago, it's a disappointment because they were the better team, hands down. Now, the flip side is Jacksonville's the better team. Not hands down, but they are the better team. They're sitting in the driver's seat. So to them and their fan base and to those around in the NFL circle, if they don't win the AFC South, it is a disappointment because they have the talent and, most importantly, two most important things, they have the coach and the quarterback.
I just look at it like, sure, should the Jags be the favorite for the division? Fine.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean they're going to win it.
Right, and it doesn't mean that they're going to win it.
Exactly.
But when you talk about a disappointment, like if you say, like the Chiefs don't win the AFC West, that's a disappointment. Because
huge.
That team is far and beyond so much better than any other team in that division. There is so much more proven about that team than any other team in the division. They're the reigning Super Bowl champions, for crying out loud. They have the best player in the league as their quarterback. I don't think that the Jags are as much of a favorite in the AFC South as maybe, say, the Chiefs would be in the AFC West. That's why I say it might be it's selling the Titans short by saying that it would be a disappointment. Because I think those two teams are a lot closer than people might lead on. And you could say, you know, I lean the Jags pass-catching core. And you can say, okay, I lean maybe the Titans defense or the Titans run game. But I don't think that there's so much of a gap to say that it would be such a disappointment for the Jags to lose to the Titans in the division. But the second part of this that Dan Graziano writes, again, he writes, the Titans still have Mike Vrabel as their coach. And that's what you always have to give the Titans at least some benefit of whatever doubt that there might be. As long as you got Mike Vrabel as your head coach, you're going to feel confident. So the Titans still have Mike Vrabel as their coach, and the late offseason addition of DeAndre Hopkins suggests that they still plan to contend. But last season's collapse also indicates that Tennessee might be heading into a bit of a rebuild. What about last season's quote-unquote collapse would imply that the Titans are heading for a rebuild? Well, if they moved on from Tannehill or Henry or Byard, I would say, okay, yeah, that's, yeah, rebuild, I get it. But what about the end of last season implies that the Titans are rebuilding or not trying to compete this year at least?
I think it's because the depth on the team.
Uh-huh.
When guys started to get hurt, you saw the lack of depth mm-hmm. on this team. I've always said this team isn't rebuilding. They're just renovating. They're doing a couple of rooms. They can't afford to rebuild. They can't. What's the old adage, and Floyd would say it, isn't it? You're not going to be here for the rebuild mm-hmm. if you're rebuilding.
Right.
That coach is not going to be here for the rebuild. So if I'm Vrabel, I'm not rebuilding. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I'm not going to see the rebuild.
Right.
You know,
it's not in his DNA to lose games.
Exactly. I am renovating. I am taking some areas of my team and improving it. The offensive line, going to improve the offensive line. The pass catchers, going to improve the pass catchers. I didn't say, you know what, I'm done with this offensive line. Get rid of all five of them. Let's get five new offensive linemen in there. No, I know there are some different guys in there, but you do have two guys in Aaron Brewer and Nicholas that have been here since last year, and then a few other guys that are backups. So this team is not in a rebuild mode. They're in a remodel. They got to remodel some areas so that they can continue to, you know, improve their house. The, you know, property value can continue to go up.
Uh-huh.
And once I tear it down, it's tore down, and you got to build from scratch.
You need a new foundation.
Exactly. You need a new foundation.
Hire yourself a contractor.
You need a new contractor. You need everything, which means the head coach and his coaching staff will not be around to see that rebuild. So I don't believe they're rebuilding. They're retooling. They're remodeling. But, again, that just shows you nothing against Dan Graziano mm-hmm. at all. That's great work. But that shows you the difference between those that watch this team every day, and uh-huh. that's the only thing they're watching, and those that watch this team but got to watch 30-some other teams as well.
100%. And I do think that is part of it, that it can be so easy to look at the Titans on paper and say they went on a 7-game losing streak to end the season, basically threw away the division at the end of the year, drafted another quarterback, traded up to draft Will Levis. I think on paper you could say, okay, well, this team's heading in a different direction.
Uh-huh.
But what a lot of people don't look at is, why did they lose 7 games? Well, the starting quarterback got hurt. They're, you know, basically all their pass catchers were hurt. Jeffrey Simmons was playing on a bum angle. Offensive coordinator got a DUI. Fired the general manager in the middle of the season. And, oh, yeah, by the way, you know, three of their foundational players that they could have moved on from but didn't. I mean, like, that shows me that, hey, we're going to be committed to win. We're going to be committed to not completely tearing everything down and tanking for Tua and moving on and moving forward. I think that's not something that maybe the national media would look at, maybe peeling back the layers a bit of the Tennessee Titans and acknowledging that, you know, this team's not rebuilding. Is that the right decision? Is that the right way to go? Maybe, maybe not. But I don't see how you can look at this roster on paper and some of the moves that this team made in the offseason and say, yep, that's a team that's okay with going, you know, 6-11 this season. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Tajay Spears will join us in just a bit. Also, we'll take a look at the rest of the overreactions from Dan Graziano's list. We agree with what Dan Graziano had to say around the rest of the league. We'll get into that. Tajay Spears coming up next, and also Mike Vrabel at the podium. Caroline Willie DeMace, 1025-1063 The Game. Caroline Willie DeMace, 1025-1063 The Game and The Game Nashville app. Joining us now is Titans rookie running back Tajay Spears as he's signing some footballs for the fans. Tajay, appreciate you for joining us. It's finally a game week, and I say that. I haven't even been the one in the field or the one in the weight room, the one in the film room. How does it feel for you guys to be finally preparing for an opponent that's not in the two-tone blue?
It feels good. It feels good. First of all, thank you for having me, but it definitely feels good. A lot of hard work went into it, so just taking it one day at a time.
How's the adjustment been for you? Obviously, going from Tulane, now being drafted by the Tennessee Titans, maybe a little bit faster. How's that adjustment been for you from the college to the pros?
It's been cool. It's been rough at times, but like I said, just taking it one day at a time. I'm kind of catching on, but honestly, it's been a little rough.
What's been the biggest or maybe toughest adjustment for you?
I guess the setting. Just a setting. You gotta learn different people, and also you gotta go play in a different setting too. I was at Tulane for 4 years. A big adjustment from Tulane to here. So, but I'm catching on. They got great people here, so you know I'm beating got it within time.
Who has been maybe one guy or a group of guys that have helped you come along, whether in your rookie class or veterans?
My rookie class, I feel like we are very close. We lift each other up, very encouraging words, and also we do stuff together whenever we have free time. So just the rookies, we all, you know, we gonna stick together no matter what. I was just out with my me and Shaquille Brown. We was bowling. We had a good time Saturday. So just things like that just keep us going. And you know, whenever we talk about hard times, we just, you know, we gonna be straight. You know?
Is that something that Tajay that you need, because you know in college, you know, it's practice, it's games, it's school, but then y'all always find time to hang out with one another, so it's a little bit easier to do it when you're in college. Is that something that is, you believe, that is critical for you, that bond that you build, not just with the rookie guys, but you talked about the rookie guys, but with the veterans as well?
Yeah, that's probably a very, you know, that's important right there, the bond that you build over time. Because that's what's going to keep things together, like when things get rough. Mm-hmm. So everything ain't going to be peaches and cream when you're dealing with football, no matter if it's practicing games, you know, critical situations. That's what's going to keep everything together, like the bonds that you built. So that's very important.
Now, was it everything that you expected it to be, or has it been thus far everything you expected to be, meaning practice, you know, walking in this building, interacting with different guys, you know, plays, everything else? So is it what you expected or more?
Yeah, like I said, when I came for my visit, they was great people. They still great people, so ain't nothing changed right there. But you got to work hard wherever you go. So it was the same. I know I'm had to put in hard work in. So it's a little different. It's a little different for sure. But I really wasn't thinking too far ahead. I was just like grounded, because I still had so much to prove after the USC game, from like the pre-draft process and, you know, just getting drafted. I still had so much to prove. Then the rumors came out about, you know, my leg, and you know that put me behind the eight ball again. That so I still had so much to prove. So I was just taking one day at a time. It's definitely a blessing to be here. Now I'm just forecasting back on all that stuff.
Well, you mentioned your leg, because that was a big topic of conversation right around draft time. What was a rumor? What was true? And how are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. They was trying to say like something was wrong with my leg, but I don't really know. But I said to the media, like one time, like I'm healthy. I'm perfectly fine. Like, you know, any football player got bumps and bruises from practice, fall camp. So you know, I'm perfectly fine. Like I said, I'm blessed to be here.
Now, was that a surprise to you? Because, you know, you finish out the season, you're healthy, and you're thinking like, okay, let me get prepared. My physical, I feel great. You know, you go into the physical at the combine, and all of a sudden you hear this. It's like, what?
See, like anybody that's been following me, mm-hmm. or, you know, they've been a fan of mine, that was as much a surprise to me as it was to them. Because I was like, what are you saying? I'm like, this can't be real. Like, I didn't play what? But I just played like 14 games, and you trying to tell me I don't have an ACL? I'm like, this can't be real. So like, it definitely, you know, it definitely took me by surprise, and I was definitely just like, dang.
Now, are you figuring out what have the coaches told you your role is going to be, and have you, and based upon what they've told you, have you sort of morphed into that role, but still trying to figure out some other things as well?
Of course, like when you got like a. When you got like a back like Derrick Henry, that, you know, he can do a lot, and also he can adjust to do a lot too. So you got to fit in where you fit in at. Also, whenever you get your opportunity, you just got to knock it out the park. And I'm just, me personally, like, we haven't, like, got that far to talking about it. But just really, like, I did, like, it seems just like, you know, catching the ball out of the backfield, being that versatile guy that can do it all, you know, run the ball between the tackles, run outside the tackles, catch the ball, block, you know. I'm putting a big emphasis on blocking right now because, you know, a lot of people think I can't block.
Now, because of where the running back is right now, and I'm sure you've heard what has been going on with the running back position right now and people devaluing the running back position, was it a thing for you to be versatile as you were playing, you know, little league or high school football? And obviously when you go into college, you were more versatile back. But was it one of those key things for you to be a versatile back?
See, like, growing up, like, you know, like,
and what backs did you look at to try to model your game after?
See, I really Reggie Bush. That was my all-time favorite for real. But just growing up, like, I just like was just straight running back. Like I got to high school, that's when my coach started putting me out in the slot and started running routes and catching the ball out the backfield. Like, I played, like, you know, half slot and half running back in high school. But, like, really, like, just put an emphasis on it, like, my senior year of college, like, just different matchups, catching the ball out of the backfield, stuff like that. But just really just been playing straight running back. You know, they saying running backs getting devalued, but to be honest, like, my take on that is just really, like, I just got to get my foot in the dough, then I can voice my
exactly.
Tajay Spears, Titans running back, is with us. Mentioned, you know, people say you can't block. People talking about your knee throughout the entire draft process. Do those kind of things make you feel like you have something to prove going into this season?
You know, a lot of people gonna say a lot of things about you. But, it's like, you know, you're just not like, you know, and sooner or later, if you, like, taking all those things, you're going to start believing those things. So what my biggest thing is just, like, you know, I ain't trying to prove nobody wrong, but I'm just trying to prove myself right, you know, because I got here from working hard as I could. So that's going to be my way to stay here, working hard as I could. So just focus on what I can control, and, you know, it's going to be what it's going to be at the end of the day.
Tajay Spears is with us. I've seen you work with all three quarterbacks. Worked with Ryan Tannehill, Malik Willis, and Will Levis. What have you picked up on the three of them, as, you know, as Malik and Will Levis are still kind of learning, Tannehill as the veteran? What have you picked up, the tendencies or the things that you like about those three quarterbacks?
Well, they definitely are three great people. Of course, like, everybody going to be different. They three different styles of quarterbacks. But working with all three of them, it's been a pleasure. And I feel like, you know, I ain't gonna knock down one of them. I feel like I like working with all three of them, though. But I like working with all three of them.
But you want to work with Ryan Tannehill because he's the starter, which means you're going to be in the game a lot.
Yeah. You know, I definitely want a lot of playing time this year. Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure you're from Louisiana, but is this be your first NFL game? It won't be the first regular season game, but your first NFL game. You got family that will make the travel from Louisiana to Chicago?
Yeah, I think my dad, my mom, my stepmom, and probably you and my brothers, but I know for sure my dad and my stepmom. And I'm going to try to I know for sure my dad, my stepmom, and my mom for sure.
Okay.
But also, like, we played my boy over there. So we're going to Chicago. So Darnell Mooney over there and Macon Clark.
Okay.
You know,
I like Darnell Mooney. I coached him a little bit when he came out. So I'm really high on Mooney.
Yeah, so Mooney over there, you know, he's been over there for what, about?
Yeah, it's been three years now. Yeah.
Three, 4 years. And Macon Clark, he just came over there. He just got picked up from the draft over there.
Okay. So you look forward to playing against those two guys, former teammates.
Yeah, man. Me and Macon going to be throwing it up.
Also back in New Orleans for first game of the year.
No, that's going to be crazy.
When the Titans drafted you, I have a bunch of friends who cover, you know, Tulane, cover the Saints in New Orleans. They texted me. They were like, you have no idea how jealous we are that Tajay is in Nashville. I know a whole lot of Saints fans were sad that they lost you to the Tennessee Titans. But Tajay, appreciate you for joining us. Best of luck with the rest of camp. Good luck Saturday.
All right. Thank you.
Awesome. Yep. Thanks, Tajay. Again, Titans running back Tajay Spears. We'll take it to Mike Vrabel at the podium coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.